Okay, today's daf is Nun Bet. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet, a few lines before the Mishnah Tanu Rabbanan. Hanosev Anotem Ba'amana. Okay, if somebody does, he buys stuff and sells it for Ba'amana, with trust. Okay, we're going to talk exactly about what this is. This is a machlok at Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel. I'm going to go with Rabbeinu Chananel's interpretation. Harei ze lo yichashev et hara ba'amana ve'et hayafeh ba'shaveh. Okay, so it's unclear exactly what this means. Rabbeinu Chananel says what it means is you buy, let's say, 10 for a dinar. Okay, you buy a whole bunch of items for the same basic amount, you know, each like 10 for 10 for or 10 for 1 or whatever it is. And then when you go to sell, let's say 10 for a 10, so it's one dinar each. But some of them, let's say it was pearls, I don't know, and some of the pearls were more expensive and some of them were less expensive. But you bought a 10 for the price of 10, in other words, as if each one was equal. So when you go to sell them, okay, so you can't say, well, the cheaper one that's worth less than a dinar, I'll sell for a dinar, and the expensive one that's worth a dinar and a half, I'll sell for a dinar and a half. That's not appropriate business practice. This is about ethical business practice in terms of profit margins. So that's what it means. Ella, you can't do the ra ba'amana v'teyafeh ba'shaveh, right? The ra based on the amount that it was, you know, the general kolel amount, and the yafeh ba'shaveh for what it's worth. Ella, o zeh v'zeh ba'amana, either you sell all 10 for the price of, you know, for equal price each. O zeh v'zeh ba'shaveh. Okay, or you sell them for their value, each one for their own value. Vinotain lo. Now, if you're going to do it ba'amana, so now what's the issue? You bought 10 for 10. Well, that's not fair. You're going to sell them for 10, right? In other words, each for one. Then you're not making any profit. So what are the profits you're allowed to get from this? Vinotain lo schar ketef, schar gamal, schar pundak. You can demand from here, though, value for... If you had to hire someone, let's say, to carry the, you know, if it was pearls, I mean, maybe you didn't need to carry, but let's say you bought a ton of pearls, you'd need someone to carry them. Schar gamal, if you needed gamal to help you carry it. And schar pundak, if you had to travel to get there and you stayed overnight, you had expenses. So all these expenses you can charge to the buyer. But schar atzmo eino notel, but you can't take, here they're actually saying that you can't actually mark up the price. Okay, why? Because shekfar natano scharo mishalem. Because you already got paid your price for that. What does that mean? Scharo mishalem mehecha kayayv. Like, who gave him? What do you mean? He already gained his profits by buying these 10 for 10? What are you talking about? So Amar Papa bitzderuye. Remember we had that before. That was the guy who sells these kind of clothes, kanbus or something, the type of clothing that people, even people in their own house sold. So in this kind, there was a huge market for these kind of items, like basic clothing items. Diyave arba lemea. That for every 100 you buy, the guy who you bought from the wholesaler throws in an extra 4. That's your profit that you get. Okay, so you get your profit in buying it. Now that's obviously only in an industry where that goes on. So your profit was already between you and the wholesaler. So when you sell it, you can only tack on the price of expenses that you had along the way, and that's it. Okay, it's interesting that they get so much into the pratim of how you can determine prices. Okay, next Mishnah. Now we're going to move on. We talked about ona'ah when it came to an item. Okay, we'll call it a talit for all intents and purposes because that's what the Gemara is going to call it. Okay, where you have some sort of clothing or something, they'll refer to it as a talit. And we had ona'ah was 1/6. Now we're going to talk about ona'ah when it comes to money. Okay, what does this mean? This means if you have a coin, now in those days, coins were used by the value of the metal in the coin. Okay, we discussed this. It wasn't so clear that it was always like that and might have changed over time, but in the time of the Mishnah, according to this Mishnah anyway, it seems clear the coins were used at the value of how much metal was in them. So if the coin starts to wear away and it doesn't have as much, let's say, silver in it as it had originally, then what's going to happen? If you use that sela, basically, and it's worth less than, let's say, 1/6 of the value of the coin, or whatever percentage we're going to come up with, then there's ona'ah, basically. The guy can say, hey, you gave me this coin, I didn't realize it was worth less, and you know, or you gave me change when I bought this item, you know, and basically we're going to have an issue. So the question is, what are the percentages for coins, and is it going to be different from the percentages for the talit? So, kamatei hasela chasera velo yehei ba'ona'a. Okay, we're going to explain a little bit later exactly what this means, but right now it sounds like, how much can it depreciate in value and it still won't be considered on ona'a, which sounds like anywhere past here will be ona'a. Rabbi Meir omer arba isarot, isar ledinar. He says this basically is 1/24. Okay, why is this? Because you can look at Rashi, he goes through. Because vav mea kesef is a dinar. In other words, a dinar is made up of 6 meot, and a mea is 2 pundyonim, and a pundyon is shnei isarim. So 6 times 2 times 2 is 24. Okay, and that's how we get to, it's an isar the dinar, which is basically 1/24. Rabbi Yehuda omer arba pundyonot, pundyon ledinar. Okay, he basically says it's not 4 isarim, it's 4 pundyonot. And 4 pundyonot, a pidyon is worth, 2 isarim is a pidyon, a pundyon. So a pundyon, we're going to do, instead of 1/24, it's going to be half that amount, right? 1/12. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon omer, shmone pundyonot, shne pundyonim ledinar. So now we're doubling it again, right? So we're going to get to 1/6. Okay, so here you see Rabbi Shimon matches the 1/6 that we saw before. But the others say that when it comes to coins, it's either 1/12 or 1/24. And also the bit of the issue, which we're going to change this later, but right now it sounds like at 1/6 there isn't ona'a, it's past that, or at 1/12 or at 1/24. Ad matai mutar lachzir. This whole Mishnah Bichlal is going to be hard to understand. We'll only understand it more proper, better when we get to the Gemara on it. Ad matai mutar lachzir. This part dafka is straightforward, but some of the other parts aren't. Until when can you be machzir? So now it's going to be, right, remember last time we had ad shir yarela tagar o lechrovo. Now when it comes to money, we're going to distinguish between krachim and kfarim. What are krachim? Krachim are cities. Kfarim are villages where there's not much of a shuk there. So bikrachim ad kidei sheyarela shulchani. Okay, seems comparable, right? Until you show a money changer, someone who knows. Obviously, it's not exactly the same because there you could even show your relative. Here the assumption is that relatives and regular people don't really, even storekeepers don't know the real value of money, of coins. Bakfarim ad arve shabbatot. If you're in the kfar and there's no shulchani there, what do we assume? That when it comes to Erev Shabbat, that's when people go out and buy things because they need for Shabbat. And then, you know, he'll go to the shuk and he'll see that no one's going to take this coin because they're going to say it's not valued enough. And then he'll realize that this coin is no good. Im haya mikira afilu la'achar 12 chodesh mikabla himenu. If you know the guy, okay, this is going to be a strange thing. What does this have to do with anything? Okay, we'll ask in the Gemara. Even after 12 months, he has to take it back from him. Ve'ein lo alav ela tar'omet. And he can only have a complaint. Okay, unclear who can have a complaint on who. What are we talking about here? We'll get to it in the Gemara. Ve'notna l'maser sheni. You can use this coin, okay, that's at this level of 1/6 or 1/12 or 1/24. Okay, you can use this coin to be pode your maser sheni. Ve'eino choshesh. And you don't have to worry that when you get to Yerushalayim, they won't buy, you know, no one's going to take this money. They're going to say, hey, this money's not worth enough. She'eino ela nefesh ra, because someone who won't take that money is a bad person. Okay? Again, we're going to try to understand this better when we get to the Gemara. It's not super clear. Okay, the first thing they're going to say is, Ruminhi, ad kamatei hasela chasera v'yeh ba'ona'a. Amar pap. Okay, so there's a braita that says, and then it brings all the opinions that we saw. And our Mishnah said, so the way I described the Mishnah was that what? When you're at a 6th, or you're at 1/24th, or 1/12th, you can't claim ona'a anywhere past there, you can. But now this Braita seems to say, no. If it's chasera, 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th, that's when there's ona'a. So amar papa, lo kashya. Tana didan kachashav mimata lamala, tana bar kachashav milamala lamata. Okay, this is like ad va'ad bichlal or ad v'lo ad bichlal. Our Mishnah was talking about milamata lamala. In other words, from the sela down, right, up to a 6th, but not including a 6th. And the tana bara of the braita was mitchashev milamala lamata, okay, from the other direction. So including the 1/6. You know, the 1/6 will be included in, that will be ona'a. Okay? Maishna b'sela depligi, umaishna b'talit delo pligi. So now they ask the basic question, why is there a difference between money and talit? So Amar Rava, Rava says simply, actually, there is no difference. Mantana talit, Rabbi Shimon he, the Mishnah about the talit, was just telling us Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but really Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Okay, which is like a huge chidush of Rava's, right? That really ona'ah, okay, could be all different opinions. It happens we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, obviously, that's why the Mishnah mentioned him. You know, so we're not going to have a difference in psak here between Rav and Abaye, but a difference in parshanut. That's how do we understand ona'ah? Is there a through a machloket, or is there not when it comes to basic items? Abaye Amar, no, Abaye says, what are you talking about? No, clearly, if the Mishnah brings it up here, that it's a through a machloket, and it doesn't bring it up there, it's because there really is no machloket there. So here, he distinguishes between a talit and money. Talit adshtut machil inish. Da'amre inshe ashik legabayich v'shave lechresayich. But sela came into lo sagile lo machil. He's now going to say that people are mochel more easily when it comes to items that they're going to buy. They're willing to overpay by more rather than money. Okay, let's start with the money. What's the issue with the money? Kevan de lo sagele, what does that mean, lo sagele? We've seen this term before. It can't be used in the market. People are going to look at your coin and say, hey, I'm not, that coin looks pretty right. Imagine you go with a ripped bill to pay for something, right? They're going to say, that bill is ripped. I'm not going to take that. So it's going to be much harder for him to use it again. Remember, you have to also remember, money, he doesn't say this, but money is lahotza'anit now. Remember that? Money is always spent. It's fluid. Whereas an item you might buy, you might be willing to buy it, so you have the item. But here, you only need the money in order to use it again. So therefore, no one's going to buy it if you, you know, you're not going to be mochel on it. But when it comes to items, okay, and here they make a distinction between, and there's a bit of a question, because this seems to indicate that produce would be like money. But anyway, it says that people are ashik legabayich. If you're talking about something for your gav, for your body, that you need to wear, people are willing to spend more for that. When it comes to produce, they're not willing to. You know, like when it shave lekresayach, for your kresa, for your stomach, you should pay the value. But for when it comes to taking care of your body and wearing something, you know, then be willing to spend more. Okay, so this is like, I think what they're taking is this term that people use, and they, you know, people on the street say, oh, we're happy to spend money on clothes, not on money. You know, on produce. So produce will spend only what it's worth. For other things, we'll spend more. And they took this and they said, ah, here you see, people are willing to spend more on things in general, even though, right, the produce is a bit tricky, because then you would think, based on that imra that people say, produce would be like the money. But we don't say that. We don't, you know, produce is obviously considered the same, and money is unique. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to go back to this braita that they quoted, and they're going to quote the whole thing. Ad kamate asela chasera v'yeba ona'a, Rabbi Meir omer arba'a isarot isar ledinar, like we said. Rabbi Yehuda omer dalet pundyonot pudyon ledinar. Rabbi Shimon omer shmone pundyonot shnei pudyon ledinar. Yeter alkei mochra b'shivya. Okay, so now it says, more than this, it gets sold for its value. Okay, we're going to have to understand what that means. Ad kamati pachet. In other words, if it's, let's already explain it. If it's more than that, up until, let's say, a 6th or a 12th or a 24th, according to the halacha, what can you do? If it's up to that amount, you can claim it's just a sela and use it as if it's a sela. If it's at that price, then already you can, you know, the guy can claim, if you try to use it as a sela, give me my money back. You know, I want, you didn't pay me the full value, or whatever, whoever's doing it. But if it's more than that, let's say it's deteriorated significantly, so then you can use it, but only for the value that it is currently.
Meaning it's not a seller anymore.
Exactly. So now the question's going to be, ad kama tipachet v'yehe rashai l'kaima. How, okay, so now, right, we get to, let's just say we're at a 6th. So let's take that opinion that it's a 6th. So it goes down a 6th, that's fine. At this point, right, it becomes ona'ah. If you use it and claim it's a sellout, you're in trouble, right? You can claim, give me more money. If it goes down more than that, let's say it goes down, you know, a quarter in value. So you use it as a quarter of a sela. How far down can it go that you can still use it? Ad shekel b'dinar. Until a shekel to a dinar is a half a dinar. Okay, so you can use it. I read that wrong. Arashah v'kayma, b'sela ad shekel. A sela, a half a sela is a shekel. So in other words, you can use a sela until it's devalued by half. Okay? B'dinar ad rova. Okay, this is going to be confusing. Right now it sounds like when it comes to a dinar, you can use it until it gets down to a quarter of its value. Okay, so from a sixth to a quarter of its value, you can use it. Pachot mikain, right? This is, it's actually from a sixth to three quarters, right? Because it's how much did it deteriorate? It deteriorated by a sixth all the way until it got down to a quarter, right? In other words, it deteriorated by three quarters. You follow the difference? Right. Until now, we've been talking about how much did it deteriorate, not how much did it deteriorate until. So now, ad rova, we're going to learn in the end that it doesn't mean rova. It means ad rova of a shekel. In other words, it's, ad rova of, I have to get my things right? Ad rova, we'll see it inside, but they're going to say that it deteriorates till half of a dinar. Okay, which is, right, half of a dinar, four dinarim to a sela. So half of a dinar is two sela, four dinar to a sela. So half of a dinar, right, and a dinar is two shekels, right, so half of a dinar is a shekel, right. So basically, to a quarter of, it's a, I'm saying this wrong, the whole thing got me confused. Okay. Sela, two shekels to a sela, two dinarim to a shekel, right? Which means four dinarim to a sela. So half of a dinar is, help me out here, right? Half of a dinar would be a quarter of, I think, a shekel, right? Dinar avrova, marrova, right? A quarter of a shekel. Okay, it would be a quarter of a shekel. So now, that's what they're going to end up saying. It's a quarter of a shekel, which is half a dinar. Okay? Pachot mikain isar asur. If you take one more isar away from here, okay, when it gets to that amount of half, okay, half the value of the coin, and then one more isar away from there is already asur. Okay, that's going to be strange because shouldn't it be any teeny amount, even, right? Not even between an isar less or anything less than half. So we're going to question that also. Hare ze lo yim kirena. Now, once it gets below this value, lo yim kirena lo le tagar, velo le haram, velo le harag, mipnei shemiramim ba'et ha'achirim. You cannot sell it, not to a merchant, because we're worried he's going to, you know, shortchange someone, give it to them, not to a haram, which is a violent guy, and not to a rotzeach, because they're going to trick other people. Now you have to wonder here why these people specifically are chosen, right? These aren't the classic people that are chashud al hamamonot, which come up in Sanhedrin, that you can't use these people because they're suspect. They would do anything for money, and they trick people with money. The assumption is that these people are violent or murderer, therefore you're scared of them. So they might force you to take the money. You follow? You might not have a choice, right? If you sell it to one of these guys and then they realize later that, oh my God, this guy sold me, they're going to use it now to sell to other people. And the people might not want to take it from them, and they'll say, you know, they'll put them at gunpoint and they'll say, well, tough luck, take this or leave. So that's what it seems like. And the merchant is just, you know, we're worried that he's going to be giving a lot of money to people in change and he'll just throw it in and no one will even notice. I guess you see here that merchants aren't exactly the most trustworthy people. Ella, so what can you do with these coins? So once your coin gets under half of the value, what are you supposed to do with it? Yikavena, you can make a hole in it. V'yitzlena b'tzavar b'no b'tzavar b'to. You can use it as a necklace, okay? Make a hole in it. Sounds like those hasimonim, right? With the holes in it, and people now use them as necklaces because there's nothing else to do with an hasimon these days. Okay, and you hang them on their necks. Okay, now that was all the braita. Now we're going to go into details of this braita because the braita also wasn't very clear. Amarman. Besela ad shekel b'dinar ad rova. Maishna besela ad shekel u maishna b'dinar ad rova. Amrabaye, right? Why is that half? And this is a quarter. My rova de katane, rova shekel. That means a quarter of a shekel. And Amar Rava, here finally, Abaye and Rava agree. Rava is just trying to support Abaye. And he says, Daikanami de katane. Here I can even prove that Abaye, you're right. Because it says rova, and it doesn't say velo katane revia shmamina. It doesn't say a quarter. It says a rova, you know, which is not the same as a revia. You want to say quarter, you would have just said revia. Rova sounds like rova of something, rova of the shek. Shmamina. Now we want to say, oh, so then, lamale lamini aladina reshekel. Right? It doesn't make any sense, though. Why would they tell you the amount in shekels if we're talking about a dinar? It should just tell you the dinar ad chatzi. So, what are they telling you? Milta agav orche kamash malan. They want to teach you some other halacha, which is di'ika dinar da'ate mishekel. That you could have a dinar that comes from a shekel. In other words, if your shekel devalues to half, going to be valued at a dinar. So if the shekel is devalued to half and it's valued as a dinar, you can actually use that as a dinar. Because that's what we said. You could use it until half. So that's what you learn. Now obviously, if that same dinar devalues another half, you can no longer use it because it was originally a shekel. Right? But a shekel that devalues half, you can use it as a dinar. If it values another half, right, then it's going to be a quarter of a shekel and then you can't use it. Or, sorry, if it devalues half of a dinar, not half of what... Right? In other words, it was a shekel. It devalued halfway to a dinar. Now, if it devalues another halfway, it'll be nothing. So it would have to devalue a quarter would be the question, right? Then, that kind of shekel that devalues from a shekel to a dinar and then further half a dinar, which would be a quarter of a shekel, right? Another quarter of the way. Then you obviously can't use that because that might be half a dinar, but it started as a shekel. But in any case, it's teaching you that if you had, and it's teaching you two things. If you started with a dinar and it devalued halfway to a quarter of a shekel, that would work. Or it also teaches you additionally that a shekel, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, they're just kind of inferring from here, that since they're interchanging dinarim and shekalim, it means that you could, in theory, have a dinar that came from a shekel. Because if your shekel devalued halfway, because notice it didn't say in there that a shekel ad dinar, right? It said a sela ad shekel and a dinar ad rova. It's weird that it didn't say a shekel, but it's kind of saying that that's included, implicit in that statement. Okay, Miseyele le Rabbi Ami. Miseyele le Rabbi Ami. Okay, this supports Rabbi Ami. De'amar Rabbi Ami, dinar habami shekel mutar lekaimo. Dinar habami sela asur lekaimo. Okay, and this supports Rabbi Ami, who says that a dinar that comes from a shekel is good, right? Even though the Braita didn't say so, he's telling us that, because again, it's half. And a dinar that comes from a sela, right, would not be good, because again, that's going to be more than, or it's going to be less than, the sela devalues to a shekel is halfway. Once it gets to a dinar, that's more, and that's not going to be good. Pachot mikain isar asur. Okay, now this is a strange thing. What does this mean? Asur, right? Some people say this word belongs, some people say it doesn't, either which way, right? It can't be used. So my kamar, what is it telling us? Amar bai, hachi kamar. This is what it means. Pachata sela yoter michde ona'a, isar, asur. If the sela goes down, okay, now what did we talk about? We talked about it being halfway. Halfway is okay. A sixth. Let's say, okay, whatever, 6th of 12th to 24th. I'm not going to say each time all three, but the some percentage, which is ona'a, you're going to be allowed to use it as a sela, right? And then you can use it as a sela, right, until that point. At that point already, it's going to be din ona'a. Now they say if it goes down less than the 6th or less than the 112th or the 124th, by an isar, then it's asur. Then you can't use it anymore. So amar le Rava, ihachi afilu mashu nami. In other words, it should be anywhere past a ona'a. It shouldn't be an isur past ona'a. It should be immediately past ona'a. Ela amar Rava, what does this mean? Pachata sela isar ledinar asur. V'stama k'Rabbi Meir. What it means is, if the sela goes down in isur ledinar, then it's asur. And what it's trying to say is that the stam halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that that's the amount of ona'a. So now they say tnan hatam, sela shenipsila v'yitkina, sheyesho kelba mishkolo tme'a. If you have a sela that was pasul, now why was it pasul? One of two reasons. Either, we've seen before, psala machut, right? They took it out of circulation. Or it starts to disintegrate, right? And it's no good anymore. But then you fix it. Now, what does it mean you fix it? You didn't fix it that it became worth the value, but you changed it that now you're no longer going to use it as a coin, but you're going to use it. You're going to use it for your weights. At that point, now we always learned this before about davar hamekabel tum'ah, it has to be considered a kli and a usable thing. So at this point, you set it aside to bishokel b'mishkalot, it's tum'ah, okay? It works. Ad kama tipachet v'yeher rashai l'kaimah, how much can it disintegrate, right? Deteriorate in value, and you can still keep it. L'sela shnei dinarim, right? That's going to be half. Pachot mikeng, less than this, yikots. Less than half, okay, we're going to see exactly what this less than half means, okay? Less than half could go in both directions, right? Less than half could mean it deteriorated less than half, okay? In other words, basically between a sixth and a half. Or it could mean more than, right? It became less than, right? It became pachot mi. Right? It became pachot mi half. Okay? It became less than. It devalued so much, so it was even less than half. So less than that, what do you have to do? You coach. You have to destroy it. So now they say, yeter al kemai. So what if it is really greater than a half, but less than a sixth? Okay? So it's in between that value. Amrapuna, pachot mi ken yikot, yeter al ken yikot. Both those amounts have to be destroyed. Now, what's his logic? Right? We would have thought, what did we say until now? A sixth, or again, a 12th, 24th, they're all going to be ona'a. At that point, right, you're using them as a sela. The guy says, until then you can use it as if it's a sela. At that point, you can't use it as a sela. If you do, the guy can basically claim, I want my money back, give me the difference. More than that, until a shekel, it sounded like, until a half the value, a shekel for a sela, but until half the value, what are we going to say? You can use it as whatever it's valued at. But now Rav Huna says, no, no, no. At half, you can use it for what it's valued at. Why? Because when the sela goes down to half, it's quite obvious that it's half. Mm-hmm. Okay? And therefore, no one's going to be tricked. But when it's between a six and a half, it's going to be very complicated. You know, someone might try to pass it off as a sela, you know, and it could be, we'll get very confused. So only when it's half, is it okay? But yet, Termi came, right? If it's between that amount, it's going to be a problematic area and we're going to have to cut it in, you know, we're going to have to destroy it. Rabbi Ami Amar, no, I disagree with you. Pachomi ken yikots, yeter ken yikayim. It's less than half, already you have to destroy it. But until you get to a half, you can obviously still keep it like we thought before. So now we're going to question Rav Huna's shita. Meitei. Yeter ken machrab shivya. Didn't we say, right? More than ona'a, that's what it said. Remember, that was the Braita. The Braita said, right, it wasn't our mission, I think it was the Braita that said it. Right, the Braita said, Ad kamatei asela chaser aviyeh ba'ona'a, right, and then we said all the different opinions, and then we said, yeter al kein mochra b'shivya, yeter al kein sounded like from a sixth, or blah, 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 whatever, all the other options, until a half, you can sell it for its value. So my lav shepachatai yoter mechdei ona'ata, right? Didn't we assume that that meant it was more than ona'a until a half? So then they said, lo, yitera da'akate lo pachata b'chdei ona'ata, mochra b'shivya. If it's more than ona'a, in other words, right, that it didn't yet deteriorate b'chdei ona'ata, then mochra b'shivya. Okay, I want to make sure I understood that right before I convinced that that's what it is, but I just want to shut a second. Right, it can be, right. What it really is telling you is any less than ona'a, okay, if it deteriorated an eighth for, let's say, Rabbi Shimon, or 48th, according to everybody, okay, then you can sell it b'shovya. Now, b'shovya, we thought originally meant for its value. Now we're going to not only change what yetcha mikay means, but also what mechra b'shovya. Mechra b'shovya means it can be selling for a sela. Okay, anything until ona'a, we can assume it's a sela. Okay, and it gets sold for a sela. Second question on Rav Huna, from another source. Meitivei. Ad kama tipachet v'hei rashai l'kaima. Sorry, this is still the Braita, right? From another line in the Braita. How much can it deteriorate and you can still keep it? B'sela ad shekel. Right? If it's a sela until a shekel. So, what's the problem? How can it ever get to a shekel if you're supposed to destroy it before it gets to a shekel? So then how can it ever get to a shekel? My lav de pachi porta porta. What's the assumption? How does this coin deteriorate? Over time. So little by little it gets down. So that's why it says ad shekel, until it gets down to a shekel. That seems to be the pshat. So the Gemara says, lo. When it said that a sela can deteriorate to a shekel and then you can use it, is only to nafil lenura the itchu b'chad zimna. It's talking about it fell into a fire and immediately went down to half its value. Miraculously, it only got destroyed half of its value. It's now worth exactly a shekel. At that point, you can use it. Okay, obviously this answer is somewhat difficult according to Rav Huna, but nevertheless, they do find an answer for it. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go back to this thing about hanging it on the kid's neck. Okay, yikavena v'yitzlena b'tzavar b'no b'tzavar b'to. Right, so once it gets to this value that we don't want to keep it at, right, which again, depending on who you hold by, whether if you're holding like Rav Huna, then it's anywhere between ona and a half, and then past a half, just not at a half. And according to Rabbi Ami, it's anything less than half its value, you punch a hole in it. Ureminhi lo yasena mishkal b'mishkalotav. Okay, here's another source that talks about all sorts of things you can't do with this coin. So you can't use it as a mishkolet, basically, as a weight, because what's the concern? If you leave this coin laying around, somebody might come to use it. You can't throw it into like your scraps. Okay, you have like a scrap pile of stuff. You can't throw it there. All of a sudden now it says you can't punch a hole in it and put it on your kid's neck. Ella, what can you do with this? O yishchok, either you should destroy it, okay, grind it, thank you. O yitoch, or melt it down. O yikotz, or cut it up. O yulich liyamamelech, okay, we've seen that in the long, long time ago. We've seen this where if you have some coin that's, no good, you throw it in yamamelech, the assumption is that will destroy it, okay, because eventually the salt will cause it to disintegrate and no one will ever get it from there. So how do we relate to this? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar la Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Either Rabbi Elazar said or Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Lo kasha kam be'emtza kam min atzad. Depends where you punch the hole. Our source that said you could punch the hole and hang it meant you punch it in the middle. But if you punch it on the side, okay, imagine like a hole puncher, right? So when you hole punch a piece of paper, if you punch it on the side, what could happen? Someone could come along and cut off the edges and then sell it as a regular coin and try to use it and get away with it. Okay, so that's the problem. That's when it's going to be problematic because, again, we're worried that a Ramai will come along and trick somebody with it. By the way, I didn't really get into this, but the issue with it being less than a shekel, once it devalues so much so, is that then we're worried that it's not going to be clear what the value is. And people are going to, again, pass it up for. The assumption is that at half, we can value it at half. Once it's less than that, what they claim is that a sela is very wide or thick, both thick and wide. So it deteriorates how? Either it becomes less big, okay, like still is thick, or it loses its thickness, but it still has its size. And therefore, what are they worried? If it devalues so much, but it still either has its thickness or its big size, then people are going to think that it's a shekel. They're never going to think it's a dinar because a dinar is much smaller. That's the concept here. That once we get past half, people are going to get very confused about how much this is worth because eyes can deceive, right? How something looks can affect it. And since it's deteriorated in a weird kind of way compared to a dinar itself, or if it's a dinar compared to the other smaller coins, then it's going to basically throw people off and it'll be confusing. Now we're up to the issue of until when can you return things? And there's a distinction between the krachim and the kfarim. Again, something that was very different that we didn't see by the talit. Right, the talit, it was just one amount, right? It was Ashir Ela, Tagaro the Kravo. It didn't matter whether you lived in the city or you lived in the Kfar. But here we said, if you live in the city, it's Ashir Ela Shulchani, Bakfarim Adar Ve Shabbatot. So, Maishna B'Sela Demaflik, Maishna Talit lo maflik. Amar Abaye, right? We don't distinguish there. Amar Abaye, kitna nami matnitim b'talit. Kitna nami matnitim b'talit b'krachim tnan. When the Mishnah talked about the talit, it also included the krachim. Okay? In other words, there really is no difference. And it just didn't say it, but it means that there is a distinction. Rava Amar, talit. By the way, this is very interesting because we had this exact same structure before. Okay, maybe I'll read Rava and then I'll tell you what's interesting. Rava Amar talit kol inish dekimle begave sela. Kol inish kimle begave sela. Kevan delav kol inish kimle begave ela shuch. Sorry, let me read it better. Right, talit. Right, no, that was right. Talit kol inish kimle begave. Period. That's where I read it wrong. I knew something was wrong. Right, a talit. Everybody's kimle begave. Right, everybody has talitot around. Everybody has items, and so you can ask any Joe Schmo, you know, what is the cost of this? But sela kevan delav kol inish kimle begave ela shulchani. But when it comes to money, not everybody knows the value of money. Only the shulchani does. Hilkach bekrachim deika shulchani ad shir ela shulchani. Therefore, all of a sudden, there's going to be a distinction between krachim and kfarim, because krachim, there are shulchanis there. Therefore, they show the shulchani. Bikfarim delega shulchani, they don't have a shulchani, and all they have is stores. So what, you know, some basic stores that sell food generally on Erev Shabbat. Ad Erev Shabbatot desalkin l'shuka. Okay, therefore, you have to wait till you go to the shuk. What's interesting, if you look back, the last time we had this machloket, we had the question, Marshna b'sela depligi, Marshna b'talita lo pligi. Rava said, there's really no difference. And Abaye said, no, there's a difference. And here it's the opposite. Abaye says there's really no difference between them. That the Mishnah didn't say it, but it meant it, right? And there they, Rava said, really, there's no difference. The Mishnah just quoted Rabbi Shimon's opinion, okay? And here, it's Rava who says there's a difference. And there it's Abaye. So it's just interesting. You would think that they'd be sort of more consistent within their shita and have a general shita, but clearly they don't.
Or that they'd have some big discussion and decide that they had flipped somebody's opinion or something.
Right. It could be. The Gemara doesn't ask it, and the Gemara doesn't flip the opinions, but yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Okay. Here, by the way, there wasn't really a difference in halacha, whether you say Rava or Abaye, because either which way, we're going to paskin, it's the sixth. Everybody agrees that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So whether the other opinions mattered or not doesn't really matter. And if you notice, okay, so for example, this is a good trick. The Amish Patner Mitzvah tells you where you can look lahalacha. So in the first machloket, usually wherever they put the letter, okay, there's like a little oat that you see inside. It's by the one we paskin like. So in the machloket Rav and Abaye, there's no letter anywhere because there's no psak. But here, if you look, okay, there's a letter. Do you see that? You see the little gimel? Okay, and it's dafka by Rava. He says, "Delav kol inish kimle begave ala shulchani." Therefore, bekrachim dika shulchani adshir ala shulchani. So therefore, and that's here, it's relevant lahalacha because we're going to go by Rava because we always pass on like Rava over Abaye. That basically we're going to make this distinction by the shulchani between the kfar and the krach, but we're not going to make the distinction when it comes to any regular item. Which Abaye claimed that you would make the distinction there too, but we don't hold that way. Okay. V'im haya mikira afilu lachar shnei masar, and maybe you could say that maybe that's why they disagree, because to us the question looks the same, but the relevance of the question is totally different. Because there it's just a parshanut thing, you know, what did the Mishnah mean? And here it's really relevant lahalacha. V'im haya mikira afilu lachar shnei masar chodesh. Now this is a very strange thing, right? It gives you a time frame. If you live in the kfar, if you live in the krach. But then all of a sudden it says, and if you know him, then give him 12 months. You know, if he comes back after 12 months and says, hey, you cheated me on the money, you have to give it back to him.
This translates it as if he recognized it, not about the...
Oh, if he recognized...
The coin, not about the person.
If who recognized the coin, though?
I think if the person who received the coin eventually realized even after 12 months...
He recognizes it later.
Yeah. It doesn't talk about him.
Uh-huh. I see. So here, that's not the way they translate it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right? So let me just see. Let's see if Rashi quotes on it. Rashi on the Mishnah, let's look. It was the Mishnah. Yeah. Im haya mikira. Let's see Rashi. Im haya hanoten mikira. The one who gave the coin. Recognized him. So
this
I don't.
Is
Right. I don't know. Okay. I would assume it means that, but could be otherwise. Let me just look here. Let me give this commentary. Let's see.
If an
attend
recognizes the coin, then he's supposed to.
Oh, that's what it means. That's
right.
That's
where.
Oh,
it's
I
not
see.
The person.
It's when. Okay. No. Right. 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 If I was given a coin that's no good, and then within a year I go back and I say, hey, you know what? 11 months ago you gave me this coin and it's no good. If the guy says you're right, I recognize that coin and I know that you're the one I gave it to. You know, if he says, you're right, that's my coin, then he has to take it back. That's what it means. Okay, thank you for correcting me. So that's what it means here in Miami Kira. So now the question's going to be, Hecha, where are you talking about? Ibikrachim ha'amar dad shira l'shulchani. In other words, that relates to whether the person recognized you're giving him back his kli. But didn't we say, his coin, but didn't we say that you only have a certain time frame in which to return it? So how all of a sudden are we talking about some later time frame? So where all of a sudden do you get to a year? We're talking about if someone claims that you cheated them 11 months ago and he shows you the coin and you recognize it's your coin, so you should be a nice guy and basically give it back to him. But only midat chasidut, you don't have to according to halacha. So then they say, wait a minute, but you forgot the rest of the line. What does it say? Ihachi em aseifa. Ein lo alav ela taromet. He can only have an argument against him. Leman, who's going to have a taromet? Ila chasid lo kibul ela kavle mine velo taromet tehavile. If he wants to complain about the guy, then don't take it back. In other words, who asked you to be a chasid and go? Don't say I'll do a midah chasid. This is actually a really great. What's it really saying? If you're going to go above and beyond the law and be nice to someone, you can't complain about it. Okay, it's great because people do that often, right? They go beyond what they should be doing, and then later on they start griping about it. Oh, look what I did for you, and you know, and blah blah blah. So you have to be very careful. If you're going to be a chassid, then there's no room. This whole thing about taromet in general is very interesting. What does it mean you can complain? Right? Generally, we don't give people. Okay, you have the right to complain. You don't have the right to complain. But it's what it's saying is you have a legitimate reason to be upset at this person. Like, sometimes it's legitimate to complain, and sometimes it's out of place. So here they're saying, you have no place to complain if you were going above and beyond the law, then you knew it, and you should be doing it with a good, happy spirit. And if you're the one who returned the coin and got your money back, what are you going to do, complain now? The guy gave you back your money. What are you complaining about? Again, what could you possibly complain about? Why did you cheat me in the first place? But again, if the guy's going to go above and beyond the law and return you your money, then again, you have no right to complain to him. And this is also, if you go to a store and you complain about something, you know, and they give you your money back, you can't start after that saying, I can't believe you did that. Right? It's not appropriate. So neither of those ways would have a good taromet. So what could it possibly be? So hachi kamar ha acher apa pishem kablai menu ein lo alav ela taromet. Right. So now they're going to say right, if he's not going to take it back from him, right? Let's say the time passes and the guy recognizes if it doesn't decide to do midat chasidut. So then. The guy, since he missed his window of opportunity, right, this happens all the time for me anyway, you know, you have 2 weeks to return something and then you just don't make it to return it and then you go later and they won't take it back and, you know, yeah, so basically it was my fault. I didn't get to it, so, you know, I can only complain that, you know, here, why can I complain? I complain because the guy cheated me, but I didn't take care of it within the time frame allotted to me, so I don't have more than a complaint. Okay, last topic for today. No, it's not lamaser sheni. This way you don't go to sleep tonight without understanding something in the Mishnah that we didn't really understand. No, it's not lamaser sheni ve'eno choshesh she'eno ela nefesh ra'ah, right? This seems strange. You can use this coin for maser sheni. Now, the assumption is when there's ona'ah, okay, so you're down to this problematic price, you can use it to be poje your maser sheni. Sounds like a full value, right? Even though it's ona'ah, you can use it for maser sheni. Ve'ena choshesh, and you're not worried that no one's going to. You have your coins. You have a coin that's a sela. Okay, you have peirot worth a sela. This coin now devalued. You now flip your podeh. You redeem your fruits onto this coin that's now a sixth less than a sela, but you use it as if it's a sela, and then you go to Yerushalayim and you try to buy. Now, what's going to happen? So now they say it's only a nefesh ra'ah who's not going to take your sela and won't give you the full value of it. And that seems very weird because, right, didn't we, right? Amar Papa Shmamina Haiman Demoki Mazuze Mikre Nefesh Ra'ah. Okay? Now, they're saying anyone who doesn't count this is going to be considered a nefesh ra'ah. So what does he say? Vahane mile hu disagele. It's only if this money will be accepted. Mesela l'chizkia, and this supports chizkia, damar chizkia, ba leporta porta b'shivya, ba lechalala mechalala b'yafeh. So they're going to say, if you go to change this into coins, you take this coin to a shulchani, you can't claim it's a full sela. You're going to have to claim it's a sela minus a six, and you'll get a sela minus a six worth of coins. But if you go lechalel, a master sheni, you can be mechalel b'yafeh and assume it's worth a sela. Now this is obviously problematic, and we're gonna fix this in a minute. My kamar, hachi kamar, apal pisha kishabala porta porta b'shovya kshimachalala mechalel b'yafeh. So now they're gonna say lememar desaver chizkia demizalzolina b'master sheni. What do you mean? This sounds like according to chizkia and according to the way we understood our mishnah, you can be mizalzal master sheni. And didn't Chizkia himself say, Master Sheni Sheembo Shavapruta? Let's say you have Master Sheni Sheembo Shavapruta. So now you can't flip it onto a coin because it's not worth a coin, right? So what do you do? Omer, Hu v'chumsho, remember you have to add the chomesh, Mechulala ma'ot harishonot, lefi she'iyef shalo la'adam letzamtzem ma'otav. When you redeem your Master Sheni onto a coin, the assumption is that you can't be exact about it. So you usually take a coin that's a little bigger and you flip the stuff onto that coin. So therefore, if you have to be in the Sasana Shavapruta, you just add it to the coin that you already used and you say, oh, I'm putting it on that coin that I already have set aside. So what does it then sound like? Obviously, you can't do the opposite. Put it on a sela, right? That's not actually worth a sela and put a sela's worth of fruit on it. Otherwise, you wouldn't allow this other thing, Master Sheni Sheni Shavapruta, you wouldn't be allowed to put it on this coin that certainly has no room left on it. So, my b'yafeh b'torat yafeh. D'trezi le'lo mezalzalinam be. What does it mean? It means that you do it for the least value, actually, that it could possibly be. Since we're not exactly sure what this coin is worth, so let's say it goes down a six. So, you do it, you can put on things that are as the best, in other words, you go for what is the most that people will buy it for. That's what it means. If you go to a store, how much will they take this sela for, the sela that's now devalued? Will they take it for a sixth of its worth or a seventh of its worth? And what will they take it for? So whatever it is, that's what you can put your coins on. In other words, it's dafka the opposite. And why does he say, we're not going to have two zilzulim for this master sheni. So the first zilzul is that we're allowing you to use the sela that's not actually a sela. But we're certainly not going to say, well, you can use it to be thought of as a sela. And, right? The first way we read it makes no sense. So we're going to say, take like the least price that, you know, you can get the most people to buy it for. That's what you can do it for. Because the assumption is that when you get to Yerushalayim, you're going to have to spend it on money. And if you're not going to be able, no one's going to take it for a certain price. So then you won't be able to use it at that rate.